Hi, everyone. This is Bobby Welch, and I have on the line with me Pat Sherlock. Hey, Pat.
Hi, Bobby. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, glad to have you again. These are always fun. For those of you joining us for the first time, you've tuned into Your Sales Doctors. It's a 20-minute radio program that looks at potential sales strategies and sales management challenges that our listeners and that our clients submit each week. We'd love to hear from you. So questions, if you haven't submitted one before, you can find our contact information on the website, www.yoursalesdoctors.com. And so with that, we'll get started on today's topic. Pat, we're going to talk about how to ramp loan officer quickly and smoothly.
Great topic. I mean, that's a real issue for sure.
It sure is. And I think we were talking before the show, you'd mentioned about the importance of hiring well, right?
Right.
And I guess we're going to assume that you've hired right, and Pat's done some great work on some of our previous episodes. So the assumption is you've actually made that hire, and it's a good hire. And what are you really doing for the first 90 days? And maybe a good place to start, Pat, is to talk about the challenges that we're frequently seeing out there on getting a new person up to speed quickly.
Well, Bobby, one of the things that I see fundamentally with the ramping up strategy is that typically a lot of mortgage companies and their managers, when they hire someone, they really kind of let the person join them. And then there's really no interfacing about important issues, especially the issue about expectations and what is the plan of action. So I'd say the first problem that I see, the person gets hired and they really are left on their own at a most important time period where they do need the conversations, I would argue, in person regarding what the expectation is, what's the shared map for delivering, and what is really expected, especially from a prospecting standpoint.
Yep, good points. Yeah, I think that we underestimate how overwhelming those first 90 days are to even a seasoned veteran. And,
right.
And sometimes we overestimate their ability to just come in and knock it out of the park without some good planning and communication. And like you said, I liked it. I think you called it a shared map.
Right. Yeah. The shared map is, again, I think we assume, and obviously most companies are hiring experienced veterans in mortgage banking that have 20, 25 years. We just automatically assume that when they join you, when they go from company A to company B, that person is really just going to go off to the races and be very successful very quickly. When we know from the standpoint of analytics that when you go from company A to company B, you are going to lose your pipeline. And what is that shared map of how you're going to prospect? These are topics that I rarely see managers having those discussions. They just assume the person knows what to do.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think the refinance pipelines might be a little bit easier to move. So for those of you guys listening right now, knowing that we're in a bit of a refi boomlet, you might very easily discount that. But the area that the research has definitely driven home for those of you listening thinking about the purchase market is that realtors, especially seasoned veteran realtors that really understand how important the team behind the loan officer is, they don't move as easily as you think they'll move. There's some resistance to them trying the new company, even though they may love the loan officer.
Well, yes, I think that's really the number one false assumption is that all 100% of your referral sources are going to move with you. And it really doesn't matter if it's retail or third party. The broker or the correspondent, likewise, is not going to move with you just because you've moved to another lender. Certainly, what it shows from a research standpoint is that you are going to lose 50% of your referral sources, whether they're real estate agents or brokers. But the truth of the matter is, I think people do underestimate that when they go to another lender, that you're going to have 100% movement.
Yep, absolutely. What other challenges do you see in that first 90 days?
Well, I see over and over again that there isn't an expectation discussion. And I also see that there's really a lack of what are your activity metrics going to look like? Again, I think because of veteran originators, we just assume that they're going to come and it's plug and play, and then they're just going to move off to the races. There's the obvious issue of computer systems, which I think most companies do a pretty fair job of having the originator learn their system. But what is the activity metrics, especially from the standpoint, if you go from a well-known brand to a company that requires missionary work, you're really, what worked in the past is not going to work with the new lender. So if you have to do missionary, and that's what I'm defining as work where there's really no brand and your whole market approach could be different. Those discussions really not only need to be in the interview process, but certainly as soon as the person has joined you.
Yeah, absolutely. The setting expectations is so important because, you know, unfulfilled expectations, things going other than the way we thought they would go, that's really a fertile ground for people getting upset. You know, buyer's remorse, you know, why did I join this company 60 to 90 days later? A lot of that can be completely avoided if you just really lay out in as much detail as possible what is it going to look like. How important do you think it is to lay out the support and when that support is going to be given to the new originator over the next 90 days? And in other words, you know, you've talked a lot about the expectations from originator to the management team or to the company. What about this is what I can expect from you as an originator?
Well, again, what I see happening is that this is the time for the manager to spend from a coaching process with that new employee. And normally, that isn't the case at most companies. The manager kind of lets the new employee do their own thing for X length of time and really doesn't have that interface. So what I would say is that the manager needs to make sure that they're using this as a coaching event and that they're doing that as soon as possible and not waiting 6 months down the road to actually have these types of conversations.
Yeah, by then it's usually too late, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. And I also think that this is a great opportunity to interface your sales support tools, which would be your marketing tools, in addition to your sales training tools. I really don't see a lot in that area. Again, we assume that the originator is just going to plug and play. That really isn't the case. Very rarely is it. And it does require that the new employee is interfaced as soon as possible. And I would suggest that it should be face-to-face, where a lot of times that doesn't happen because everybody is remote today, but I think a new employee deserves your investment of time.
Yep. How do you see companies doing regarding building the relationships that this new originator is going to need? Because, you know, you mentioned systems, those are important, expectations are important, but, you know, this is a new team too. Are you seeing that folks are doing the right things there?
Well, I think you've raised a really excellent point. And what I certainly see, again, typically the case is that the new employee, you know, might go for a week of onboarding of how to learn the systems, and then they come back. And there's really, again, there's a lag time between when the manager is actually having discussions with them regarding expectations, things that we've already talked about. But it does seem to me that what ends up happening is that the manager doesn't have the heart-to-heart conversations and doesn't provide them with the assistance from a sales learning standpoint. And what I see often, and we see it from the pre-hire assessments, is that when it comes to sales knowledge, the consultative steps aren't really that well known, understood by the originator. So you really do need to have a set up a learning plan as soon as possible. And I don't see that happening at many companies.
Yeah, I would agree. I think everybody is assuming that they know these things from their previous commitment, mm-hmm. but not commitment, but their previous experience. And unfortunately, that's not the case. I've seen guys in here 8 to 10 years that they're closing reasonable volume of loans, but it's not because of expertise in the sales function. It's because they've managed to hang out long enough to develop relationships that are at least strong enough to feed them. But I've really seen kind of a lack of training probably for 10, 15 years now. if I'm being honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think obviously it really is the lack of training syncs with a refi market. And I think that when we're now looking in a different market, we're requiring people to be more skilled from a consultative standpoint. And that really is true at the prospecting topic, because that's a topic that we assume they know how to do it. But over and over again, I've seen it from consulting, and I know you have too, where they don't know the first thing about how to prospect. And it can be as basic, and I see this, I find this incredible, that they don't even have a LinkedIn account. And so it just says that we assume that they know how to prospect and what to do. But that is a big leap and not what I really see going on. And from a learning standpoint with a new employee, I would make sure I'd be reviewing what works in prospecting.
Absolutely. And the good news for those listening, prospecting, that's on one of our upcoming calendar episodes. So we're going to dig deep into that, and you're hitting the nail on the head. We just can't. We can't put too much confidence in what they've learned at prior shops. That and we're also not talking about, you know, 2-day web or seminars or 1-hour webinars that you'll often see thrown out there as training events, because we know that adult learners forget 70% of that real quick. We're talking about integrated training programs that you're teaching a skill and then you follow up through mentorship or coaching, typically through your manager, to make sure that that skill's driven into a habit. So it is important to do the distinction, because sometimes I will talk to folks and they'll say, well, no, we just did a webinar last month on X topic, and that's not enough. If that's your idea of training, that's an issue all by itself. So training and assessing where they're at today when they've joined you, so you understand where they're at today, what skills and strengths they have, what areas could be improved on. I also heard from you that putting together a shared map on how they're going to succeed at the company, both with systems all the way through these skills and skills assessments that you're talking about, kind of an integrated approach, I'm assuming in writing.
Right.
Yep. And then you start to roll that out in the 90 days, 120 days that follow. Talk to me about, you know, ideal state. We mentioned really briefly about the real estate agents, you know, not just blindly following, especially anymore. What do you think that a branch manager can do to help the agents follow?
Well, I
assist
think
the originator in this.
Sure. I mean, I certainly think that, and this is another topic that deserves its probably own discussion separately, but when you look at how deep is the relationship with the referral source, and it really doesn't matter if it's, say, real estate agent or if it's a broker or a correspondent, but how deep is that relationship? And surprisingly, Bobby, what I see over and over again, that the relationship is not that deep, especially by the average originator. And that requires more along the lines of having what I call heart-to-heart conversations with the referral source so you can have a deep relationship. So I think that you probably hit the nail on the head. The relationship is more likely to move with you the deeper your relationship is. And I think too often what I see is kind of a spray approach, hoping that that is going to be enough to really delve into a better relationship. So I'd say it starts with the basics of understanding what is required from a deep relationship standpoint. And that means having a lot more conversations along what that referral source's goals are, how you are educating them, things that really I think are basics, but because of the refi market, many originators have gotten out of the habit of not really providing that to the referral source.
Yep, absolutely. You know, something that I've done in the past that is a real kind of a 1-2 punch in effectiveness, because it really addresses what you're talking about through really a live coaching opportunity for the originator and the branch manager together, but also getting that realtor more comfortable with the new company, is to make sure you've got a realtor outreach program in place in which the branch manager is meeting those key referrals. Mm-hmm. You know, preferably, you know, some social aspect, maybe a lunch or a coffee, but then an office walkthrough. And then if you can include the processor, that will be obviously super important actions as well. But a huge opportunity to cement that relationship with the new team, but also to get to the bottom of what you just talked about, which is what's the expectations of the referral partner? What do they really need? That's healthy for the originator from a coaching standpoint, healthy for the branch manager to kind of keep their thumb on the market and to stay fresh.
Well, I think they're all great points. And I think as the industry moves more to inside sales and remote locations, I think that the physical walkthroughs are going to be more difficult, obviously, to happen, which requires the salesperson to really have what I call more deeper heart-to-heart conversations. I think too often we have just a conversation that's product and price and process. We really have to segue into what is it that person wants to achieve, especially as we're coming to 2016. Those types of conversations should be happening now. And then the originator really starts to form a value-centered relationship versus just a one that's based on a product and underwriting conversation.
Yep, great point. Very great point. We've got a couple minutes left. One of the questions I jotted down as you were talking, how important do you think a mentor or coaching relationship is to a new originator? And what I mean by that is that initial conversation all the way through some regular meetings, probably weekly at first, maybe less regularly toward the end, but where they're meeting one-on-one with somebody, high communication, venting frustrations, kind of teaching as they go. I've seen that in some shops. Is that a best practice that you would recommend everyone adopt?
Well, I think it's a best practice for sure, but having a mentor relationship is a two-way street. You have to have the veteran that's currently at that company willing to participate with someone newer. In my experience, most originators want to do that, especially the veterans and the top producers. They like sharing that. But you also have to have the other side of it, is that the new originator has to recognize that this is a relationship that is a two-way conversation. So I think it's a best practice. I don't see it that often, although it should be in place. And I think that if you don't do those types of practices, you are left with kind of a trial and error approach, which is obviously not smart. So I certainly agree with you that it's a practice that should be in place. I'd have to say that I rarely see it, though.
What about any advice? I've met managers that are hesitant to really give this type of support to a seasoned veteran because, fearing that they're overmanaging or maybe even, I don't want to say belittling, but certainly not recognizing that originator's quote-unquote experience level. Any tips there?
Certainly my thought is, and I don't see enough managing by the branch manager. I see people that, are maybe producing themselves, and from a time standpoint, the relationship is really just a pipeline management relationship. But the better managers, from a best practice standpoint, look at the new person as joining their team, and it's in everyone's interest that the new person succeeds. So again, I think that what you see with the better managers, that they do recognize that mentoring or coaching or that strengthening of the relationship, the faster it becomes, the better it is. And so again, I can't recommend, highly enough that the manager spend time, especially in the beginning, with these issues of what is your real process? What's it take to be very successful there? It might be different than what you sold them when you interviewed them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true.
That's a whole other,
That's
a lot of
another
times, a lot
story.
more episodes, Pat, because like literally I'm writing notes down because they're inside of all of our episodes are probably the next 10. I mean,
Yeah.
that last comment of yours we could talk about for a long time.
Right.
Well, a lot of great info, Pat, a lot of good tips. I think sounds like the big takeaway is have a written plan and stick to it and make sure you're thinking more than just systems. Think people and process and communication and what a real live human flesh and blood person is going to need to succeed and get that started. So that's it for this week. Everyone, thanks for listening. And don't forget, if you do have a current challenge or question and you would like to have us talk about it on one of our sessions, you can submit that at www.yoursalesdoctors.com. Pat's email is there. Mine is as well. And everyone have a great sales week and we'll see you on next week's show.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.